Shavua Tov. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. And we found a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim, which it turns out was a machlokas about whether we should continue to be bodek even after Erev Pesach. That's how we ended up understanding the machlokas. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim were only giving us additional times if one had missed the bedikah. And the machlokas between him and the Chachomim is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't want to be bodek during the actual chag because we're afraid that maybe if he finds it, he'll be nichshal in eating it. And today we're up to one line up from the bottom and on the base. Es the Gemara, now that you've said that, actually, why don't we start from three lines up, just review the machlok. So, hachabakam yiflege, mar savar mekame isuri in batar isuri lo. Rabbi Yehuda holds we should not continue to check for chametz after this month of the Yisrael. Because what if you find it, and it turns out that you momentarily forget and you eat from it? Rabban and Savre, lo gab tzrinan was according to Rabban, and we don't have such a gzera. You'll remember that according to Rashi, even according to Rabban, we have such a gzera, but only during the Pesach itself, the Zechiv Karet, not during the Zman HaMoed, or Achar HaMoed, which according to Rashi, means Shah Shishi, or until the end of the day on Erev Pesach. That's not the way all the other Rishonim learn. And today, the Gemara is concerned for what appears to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Umiga is a Rabbi Yehuda. Dilma Tilamechominei. Indeed, does Rabbi Yehuda generally hold that we're choshek, that a person should not be osik in something that is prohibited for him to eat, because maybe he'll come to eat it. How do we explain that in Vahatnan? Mishikarava Omer Yotzinu Motzinu Shuke Yerushalayim. Sheim Eleim Kemach Vekali Shalot Ritzon Chachamim. Deva Rabbi Meir. Here the question is, because mi kar hadin, obviously midiraita you're not allowed to eat anything that is chadash until the actual hakravat ha'om. Since the Torah calls this reishit ktirchem, thus prohibited to be normally kotzer. And yet, over here it says that as soon as the omer was brought, they would come out into the shukim of Yerushalayim, and instantly, the moment they brought the korban, magically you could buy the new kemach right away, even though you weren't allowed to do ktira before. That's rather suspicious. And you could find the parched grains, even though you weren't allowed to be kotzer to them before. So Rabbi Meir says, obviously that was shelo b'ritzon chachamim because people had been kotzer earlier and they weren't really allowed to. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda amar b'ritzon chachamim ha'yosim. It's not true. There was no objection to this behavior. And there was no chashash because actually what they did was they would be kotzer shelo k'derech tzira. So they would be kotef. They would pick, as it says, ukatafta b'libot. They would be kotef little pieces at a time rather than using a thresher. And a machine, a kitzer and a thresher and so on. So, v'loka gaza Rabbi Yehuda. Why isn't Rabbi Yehuda choshesh? Forget about the ways around the issues of the iser ktira and so on, but why isn't he afraid to allow you to be metakel in something where you may come to eat an iser? According to you, we don't allow you. The way you're understanding Rabbi Yehuda, we don't allow you to go ahead now and to check out your chametz, because maybe you'll come to eat the chametz. Omar, Rava, shayne chametz, bitok shalei tartel, ela yudei kitu. Chadash, rather, bitok shalei tartel, ela yudei kitu, fuzachur. The very fact that anyway you're not allowed to do a normal katsira on pre-omer, in other words, chadash grain. So that itself reminds the person, what am I doing here picking grains like I'm a shugana? Why don't I get out my magal and just get it all done? Oh, of course, I'm not allowed to do that. And that's why he's being an osik in something in a strange way. And therefore, he constantly is reminding himself, because of the absurd situation, that he's not really allowed to eat this stuff. And he's only being osik in order to be ready for after the akravat omer tomorrow or the next day. Omalei Abaye, well, that's a very nice answer when it comes to the actual ketifa, which is the equivalent of the ketzira. In this case, I'm just not doing normal ketzira. So, tenach bishat ketifa. I mean, what do we do when it comes to trina? Arkadi said that you've got flour. How exactly did you get flour? I mean, once you're grinding the grains, I mean, the guy's grinding the grains. He doesn't know that he was only allowed to pick the grains by the ketifa. He's running his shop. So why isn't he going to come now to eat the grains? Well, I guess Solo Kash will have to say that indeed we're not matir, normal tchina and so on. Maybe we'll only allow him to ground the grains in a rechaya diyat. Instead of using a power grinder, he can only use a hand grinder. So he'll know, what am I doing here? Why don't I put it into my machine? And so remember, this is obviously also right now for Achila and for Har Kada, in order to go through the how do you say Harkada? No, sifting, yeah. To go through the sifting process, you turn the knob up, you turn the sifter upside down, so that you remember that you're using it in a strange way. Okay, so just, it must be. So it must be. I mean, what other explanation could that be?
It's a run-of-the-mill situation.
Oh, it's very interesting. Very interesting. A run-of-the-mill would be that you would actually be a hergel to be overrunning this. Interesting. Elohad Etznan, it's amazing how many of these expressions must have been meyusif for people who were doing the Daf Yomi. That doesn't make any sense. Ela lod etzan. Kotzrin beit ha-shlachim v'sheba'amakim. Aval lo gotzin. How do you explain the fact that we're matir, mishnen menachot, we're matir doing katsira even prior to the Omer, and this is normal katsira, this is about katifa. This is a full katsira on fields such as beit ha-shlachim, which are irrigated fields that don't survive without artificial irrigation, v'sheba'amakim, which are overly wet and heated fields down in valleys. There's two basic explanations for this. Rashi learns here, although elsewhere Rashi brings both explanations. And one explanation that Rashi has here is that the only time that the Torah asked Reshit Ktzira Kaima Lakohen, that prior to the Reshit you're not allowed to be Kotzer at all, is where you could bring the Reshit Ktzira Kaima Lakohen. But since we don't bring second quality grain, Shebebet HaShlachin and Shebe Amakim is always low quality grain compared to the best that you ought to bring to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore they didn't ask Ktzira either. Tosfos here learns, and Rashi brings this pshat elsewhere, that the reason that we're Matir the Beit HaShlachin and Beit HaMakim is because the grain there will get overly ripe and ruined. So because of the Dover Avad, we allow you to be kotzer, but we don't allow you to do the normal Gidisha. If there's anything subsequent to the Ktzira, don't pile the grain normally and so on. So that already is making a distinction in the mode of Ktzira. But the question is, so why, if you're being kotzer normally, at the time that you're being kotzer, forget about the Gidisha, I mean, but why won't you pop it into your mouth? Alibad Rabbi Yehuda should be Asur to do that. And over there, we go Beferish and our Medayik that it is Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Ukimnak Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara there proves that that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you going to do about that? Michael Amemar, there you don't have any way out, because specifically we're allowing you to do it b'derech tzira. So therefore this whole approach is wrong. It can't be that the heter of Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Chadash, is because of some shinui. Ella means forget about all the ends. In other words, at this point, we're being matir you to do a normal tachina and a normal harkada and so on. And there's a completely different issue that's involved, and that is chadash badilmine, chametz lo badilmine. The point of Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh when you're doing something that you're liable to come in contact with a substance that normally doesn't ring any alarm bells in your mind. You see a piece of cake, you never think, oh, that's usser. So therefore, it's likely that you'll pop it into your mouth. When you see Chadash, where all year round you're very sensitive, you're waiting and waiting, you've been waiting already for 2-3 weeks. Wow, can't wait till we finally get new grain in, and so on. So there's no Chashash, because you're going to pop it into your mouth, because there is already an inborn sensitivity to that problem. And that's the issue. Never look at any Gezeira, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where the person anyway is bought it. Says Rabbi, you know, it's very interesting that you're all focused over here on Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it's just as problematic according to Rabbanu. You tell me, Rabbi Yehuda is Kash, Rabbanu, low Kash. Over here, Rabbanu said, go be Bodek your Chometz even during Pesach. Why? There's no chashash that you're going to come to eat it. So then why was it shelo b'ritzon chachamim, if they're bottom, you know, what's the problem? As far as the Yisr Ketira, we were only matir al yedei ketifa, so there was no Ketira. So what chashash did the Rabbanan have? Obviously they had a chashash that you're going to come to eat it. So then if that's the case, there's a kasha in the Rabbanan also. Why is everybody only focused on Reb Yehuda? Therefore, we'll have to say, oh, the Reb Yehuda lo kasha indeed, k'dishanina, like we just explained. The Rabbanan are the Rabbanan lo kasha. We need to understand that the Rabbanan are not saying that in general we don't have a chashash that people who may be in contact with Yisr will come to naturally eat the Yisr without thinking about it. The point over here is that they felt it's absurd to say that somebody who's going out to find the chametz in order to burn the chametz would then find the chametz and pop it in his mouth. I mean, it's crazy. The only thing that he's doing is he's trying to get rid of the chametz. So therefore, say the chachamim, I don't understand. He's going around to try to find this stuff to burn it. So you're telling me, but all of a sudden when he finds it, he's going to forget what he's looking for and he's going to end up eating it. Doesn't make sense. But Enochinami normally, they would in fact have been gozer. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi says, Rabbi Yehuda is low kash, not because of what you said before about the difference of bodil or low bodil, but rather, note carefully, what does it say in the Mishnah they found in Shukei Yerushalayim? Kemach v'koli, people don't eat just plain kemach v'koli. The problem is, I mean, see, Rashi says here that koli is not edible, which is crazy, because, I mean, we generally, it's yummy. I mean, it's like popcorn. We generally hand out koli. It says the shopkeepers would hand out the equivalent of popcorn to kids. They would come in and buy their makolet, because that way they would get, you know, until they ushered the advertisements on the kid shows and so on. But up until that time, they would hand out koli. So what is parched grain.
The Rashi himself defines it as parched grain.
Yeah, exactly. So why does he say here it's not edible? So some learn over here we're talking about not kemach vikoli, but kemach shokoli. In other words, when you're making kemach out of clay, you parch it till it's hard and then grind it and it's inedible. unless it's not, because it's a very tough kind of flour, then you'll have to bake it, so that's not it. But it is, but it's very funny to say they're not Ena Ru'i and Lachi Lami. What is Ena Ru'i and Lachi? Okay, but in any event, the Gemara is not makabel any of this, because it says that what Rav Ashi is quoted as having said is obviously ridiculous, because what Rav Ashi Bedusa, you know, really Bedusa, some have gears, usually Baruta. Baruta means, many learn that Beduta means it's just made up, meaning not that he made it up, but that somebody quoted it some time but misquoted Rav Ashi, and it was reported wrongly. That's a Beduta. Or Baruta means it comes from out there, it's off the wall. In other words, again, it was misquoted. It's Bar. It belongs outside. It was brought in without the proper research to make sure that Rav Ashi had really said it. Others say that Rav Ashi really said it, but, you know, people make mistakes. But in order to make it sound nice, you say Baruta, Beduta, you know, you don't want to say it's some garbage. But in any event, it can't be right, because what possible meaning is there to the fact that currently it's Kali? I mean, it takes time till it gets to the point where it's Kali that hard that it isn't edible, right? I mean, so the guy who's popping the popcorn before it gets that hard, he's not going to eat any? I mean, Ad Kali? It's not, you don't wave a wand and suddenly get Kali. So Ad Kali, Ma'ik Elamim. Elamai, you're going to go back to the old answer. Your old stock answer was, well, we run him Atra, you take Kituf, like Rava said before, and then we'll answer in the upside down Harkadah and the whole business. Then you're going to get to the question of Kotzrin, Beit HaShlachin, V'Shabar Makim, and Ukinak Rebbe Yehuda, Ma'ik Elamim. What are you going to say about that? That's what basically caused us to re-examine that whole approach in the first place. So I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do. You're going to have to go back to making the same distinction that we ended up with before, with Abaya. Namely, that Badil Mine, Rebbe Yehuda does not go there. Lo Badil Mine, like Chometz, there he goes there. El Rav Ashi Bedusa. Clearly, this quote from Rav Ashi is off the wall. So now, let's get back now to our assumptions. So now you're telling me that the sole criteria about when it is that Rebbe Yehuda is goes there is that if you're Badil Mine, he's not goes there, but if you're Lo Badil Mine, then he is goes. I mean, so far, that's the only criterion that you've mentioned. Let's see whether that holds. Are you telling me, therefore, that in any case where there's no Bedila, the Rebbe Yehuda would be goes? Or what about the famous Mishnah? Now, people generally take oil, salad dressing, whatever, in the middle of a meal. Over here, you've got a container of oil. It happens to be there's dripping also into a lamp. The Rebbe Yehuda says, no problem, you could do that. And he's not Choshed that you're going to go ahead and take some of the oil out. But if you take some of the oil out, then you're being over on Mechabed, because removal of a fuel from a fire is no different than removal of the oxygen from a fire, from cooling a fire. And anything that is going to put out a fire, ultimately, reduce the fire, is a part of Kivui. There, at least that's how most of Rishonim learn. There are some learn that it's a question of Muktzah, and it was Muktzah for Israel. But whatever the point is, because, I mean, otherwise it's a little bit of a problem. What does that have to do with the fact that you were Muktzah for the fire? It's Lamaisa burning the fire. No, it's not a Grama. Because since that's here's the amazing point. Chanan Wasserman viewed this as amazing. It's absolutely appalling. We should define the nature of burning by your conscious intent. Because it's only because, as Rashi points out, because you were mayachid this to be the fuel for this fire, that it now becomes the definition of how long this fire will burn. So now if you take some of it out, you're putting out the fire, even though that happens only 2 hours later. But the question would be, and this is a very serious question, about turning off a balloon of gas while there's flame in the house. You turn off they used to have balloons outside the house, for those of you who are, and you still do. You still do? Oh, you don't get central gas? No, I don't have. We have the central balloon. I never get there. I might not listen. You could say the earth is a balloon. So anyway, that's the shaila. If you turn off the balloon of gas, there's a little bit of gas. It's just a gas, a container of gas, a container of gas under pressure. So if you turn off the balloon, obviously the fire is going to go out, and it'll take 15 seconds or whatever until all the pressure is out of the pipe. But over there, since you weren't miyaka, the question is that considered to be that is the fire? It's only grama bialma, and that's something that's the question that you're raising. But over here, you were miyakated for the tiftuf, and we find in many issues indeed that the definition of what is happening, especially when it has to do with Melachat Shabbat, the definition of what's happening is a function of the human definition of what's going on. This is how I define the fire that is burning. Right? So, in any event, why does Rebbe Yehuda say it's okay? It's okay. Why doesn't he say that we're afraid people are not budel from Shemen, and therefore they'll take the Shemen out? So, obviously, there's got to be another consideration between just budel and low budel. No, not true. It is budel, but it's budel for another reason. The fact is that people are very sensitive to Yisurei Shabbat. Therefore, they don't look at this as shemen. It's not a question of shemen b'shemen. It's immediately the shaila of a burning fire on Shabbat. That's the issue to them. And therefore, there's a sensitivity to the extensions of those issues. They don't see it anymore as shemen. They see it as a lamp. And because of that, there's no time for Gezeirah Libet Reviewed. It hasn't started yet. They're just, they're just getting into it. So by the time they're into it, it's already after Yontif. Now, what about the contradiction in Shabbat itself? V'rami Shabbat haShabbat, the Tanya. Chevel d'li shenifsa, lo yekoshro ela onvo. So Chachomim say, if you've got a problem with the string that holds the bucket that you're using to draw water on Shabbat, don't retie the string, because then it'll be a kesher shokayama. That'll be an issur d'oraita. What you should do is onvo. Make a loop, which of course not the best. We don't want to make a bow. I mean, you'd rather tie it. Making a loop is not an isser. You're not going to leave it that way anyway, and therefore there's no problem. It's not really a kesher. Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. Korecha lafunda, opaskia, bevacheloyandana. That's one thing you definitely can't do. But what you can do is you could take your belt or your garter belt and you can wrap it around. Matter of fact, you could even tie that, according to Rav's Astosis points out. The Bevach Lo Yanven is going back on the Hevel. It's not going on the belt. Because I have no concerns that you're going to leave your belt there permanently. Therefore, it's not a Kesher Shel Kayoma, so there, that would be okay. But anyway, Rav Yehuda over here is saying that if I allow you to make a loop, to do an anivas, you'll come to do Kshira. I thought Rav Yehuda says people are very bodil from Inyonim of Shabbat. Kasher Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Kasher Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Rabbanan also contradicted themselves. Why are they saying over there with the shemen, people will take the shemen out of the nair, therefore not allowed to even make it that way. But when it comes to the idea of tying your bucket, it's okay, so you make a bow. You make a bow, so what's up? No one will come to do kshira. Isn't it a kasha both ways? The Rabbanan, Rabbanan lo kasha. Shemen b'shemen michlav. It's easy for people to mistake oil in a cup and not realize that this isn't salad dressing, this is fuel. But aniva b'kshira, somebody who sees a guy tying a bow and thinks to himself, what is he, crazy? Doesn't he want it to be strong? He's going to lose his bucket. The Oma, of course, because the Shabbos is not allowed to make it. He's not going to come, therefore, to do kshira by seeing the use of aniva. So memela, there's no problem over there. And what about the Rabbi Yehuda is no kasher b'chlal. You're making a terrible mistake. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda says not to make a bow is not because he's afraid you'll end up making a knot. It's because, as we already saw a few times in this Masech alone, Rabbi Yehuda holds aniva is kshira. It's not a gzeira. To him, making a bow is the equivalent of making a knot. Therefore, if you make a bow and leave it there permanently, so then it would also be us. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasher. Time in Rabbi Yehuda lo bishul the gozer aniva to kshira. Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that we're afraid you'll make a bow a knot. He's saying that aniva is kshira. Lemishum the kasava aniva gufa kshirahi. What about the rabbanon on this contradict themselves? Rami the rabbanon at the rabbanon. It's not koshrin the libe paski avelo becheva. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Now over here it says in this mishnah you can tie a bucket with a belt, a garter belt, but not with a string. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can even use a string. No. What is that supposed to mean? It's a contradiction. What we said. So when we say a string, a rope, what are we referring to? It's chevel d'mayim. Mila v'chevel d'alma. Rabbi Yehuda matir. That's crazy. But Rabbi Yehuda is the one who specifically was not matir doing anything with a rope, so it can't be a normal rope. So how could Rabbi Yehuda be matir? Kesher shakayamau. The vade yate levitule. I mean, it's very likely he'll just leave it there and mamish. This is the issue. You're right. Elapshita. Clearly, when it says chevel, it doesn't mean a rope that you would likely leave. It means the chevel of a gardi. It means a weaver's rope, which he uses to hold up the weave, a strong rope. So you're just going to borrow it to use on Shabbos. There's no way that you're going to leave it there. The gozer, Rabbanan, chevel de gardi, otu chevel de alma. And now we're saying that according to Chachomim, we're going to be gozer the chevel of a gardi because of another chevel. Why aren't we gozer aniva and kshira? That aniva b'kshira is not a problem, but a chevel is a problem. So absolutely. Of course. Chevel b'chevel michla. People can easily confuse. They're going to think to themselves, the reason it was mutter over here was because it was dafka, that kind of chevel. Aniva b'kshira, anybody who sees you doing something stupid, that makes an impression. You're doing aniva, which makes no sense. So there, b'kshira lo michla. For that, certainly you're not going to get confused. Okay, but the other way around. You're telling me that kol eichad abado mina lo gozer Rabbi Yehuda. You also indicated that if there is bedila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then there's never grounds for gezeira. Aha. So what are you going to do about the following mishnah? Latnan, it should say. B'chor shalachazo dam. You've got a b'chor that has sunstroke, and the best thing that you can do is to immediately lower the blood pressure by doing a bloodletting. What do you do? Afilu hu meit, even if he's in danger of dying, ain mekizin lo dam. The Rabbi says we can't allow you to be mekiz dam on a bechor because you may be over an issur d'oraita of making a mum. Now, just you have to be careful how you do the bloodletting. You won't be allowed to do it in a way that leaves permanent wound. So therefore, we won't allow you to do it. No, bechal. It's usher to make a mum on a bechal.
Even a mum, okay.
No, we're talking about a type of mum, which is a mum because of the fact that it makes a permanent mum. It can, if you do it in its ear, you do it near the lips, you do it in a place where it won't heal, so then it's a mum. The chachamim said, what's the problem? Just be careful where you do it. Do a normal, like you take blood out of a vein. Why do you have to, why would you bother doing it in a way that leaves a wound? So yakiz, bevat shelo yatil bo mum. So why here all of a sudden is Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, certainly people are badil. They know to be very careful with the bechor all year round. They're sitting there being careful with it. So why all of a sudden now he goes there? If we allow him to potlet it, so he may already do it in a place that's going to lead him. Why? That's different. Hatam, mitov sha'adam barul al mamono. Over there, because of the emergency, we don't assume that people are going to already worry about being bothered. People get very nervous about the, if I don't act immediately, something's going to happen. So once they get into that nervous state, they lose their discrimination. And therefore, in places where people have no discrimination, Rabbi Yehuda indeed is gozer, because already bodil lo bodil no longer registers at those moments. Whereas the chachomim, on the contrary, you're making it worse. Because if you're really concerned for the fact that people lose discrimination, then by not being matirit, he's going to go out and do it anyway. But Dafke will say, look, if they're not matirit, the heck with them. I mean, I can't tell you. And then he'll just go and he'll end up koshikei lo sharit leklal atilam evat. If you don't give him a way to do it properly, so then for sure he can come to cause a moon.
No,
this could be the Kohen he's talking about. That's not rational. It's the Kohen who's Bohol HaMomono. Yeah, but that's not what's registering over here. Once we have a reason for him ignoring it, then we're Cheshish. But normally it would be Bod. I'm saying, yeah, it could well be. But without that, if there would be Bod El Binei, without the Be'ala, we wouldn't have worried about it. The problem is it's an Isidirai. That's the problem. Forget about what comes of it. Halacha L'maisa, you cannot eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. There's a knas. As a matter of fact, Kohanim B'chol, we don't trust with the Bechor. So even if it comes with a mum, he has to have witnesses that he didn't make them. Look at that. Barnea Kohanim, Messiah Kohanim. But wait, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that we need to take into consideration the fact that people lose discrimination when they're liable to lose money. There's two ways of brushing down an animal. One of them uses carding, similar to carding of wool, in which you have a sharp comb. There's combs that have like nails coming out of it, and that gets all the way down to the skin, through the hair. And if there's any mud or anything that's caked on, it'll scrape it off. It also causes wounds, you know, but it gets all of the dirt out. And then there's mikar tzefin, which is to use a brush, regular brush. So you can't be mikare, because that's going to draw blood. But you can be mikar tzef. V'chachomim omrim ein mikardin, af ein mikar tzefin. You can't do either, say the chachomim. The Tanya, the Bryce explains, ezo kidur ve'ezo kitzur, which one is which? Kidur is with ktanim ve'osin chaburot. It's thin and sharp points in the comb, and that makes chabur. And kirtzuf are blunt, they're gedolim. So why is it that over there Rabbi Yehuda is not afraid if we allow him to do the kirtzuf, he's going to end up and do the kirut? Because after all, his animal is suffering and it's all covered with mud and it's getting overheated and miserable and so on. And says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Because hatam di shavik le ma'id amrin adam bovolam mamono. Achi shavik le tzara b'yam ha'avile lo amrin adam bovolam mamono. The difference is be'ala is not a general concern. Be'ala is law over law. The animal may be suffering. You're not going to lose your discrimination because you'd like to make it clean. You only lose your discrimination because it may die. It's not going to die from being dirty. I mean, it's got a very high glass house. But the case of the Bechor, if you don't do something about that temperature, then it's going to die. Now, let me ask you something. Why is it that Maishna Gabi Kirtzuf, Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna Gabi Chometz Gazar, Maishna Gabi Kirtzuf, the Lo Gazar, isn't there a problem of getting confused? I mean, so if you're allowing him, how come he's not going to come Lidei Kirtzuf? Because lechem b'lechem michlav kidur b'kirtzuf lo michlav. Nobody's going to get confused between two types of combs. It's a completely different thing. Masha ein kein, easily could get mixed up between one type of bread and another type of bread. I'm not thinking properly, and therefore I may end up, just forgetting putting it in my mouth. And certainly that wouldn't be the case with kirtzuf and kidur. Hello.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Rabbi Meir Omer. Ochlim kol chamesh v'sorfim b'tchilat בתחילת שש. רבי יהודה אומר, אוכלים כל ארבע, תולים כל חמש, ושרפים בתחילת שש. So according to Rabbi Meir, the harchaka that we make to aser eating midrabanan is 1 hour. Instead of eating the sixth hour and starting to burn at the seventh hour, we eat the fifth hour, and we burn at the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can only eat in the fourth hour. In the fifth hour, you're teila, you don't have to burn, because it's still, we're not going to aser hana'ah. Visorfin betchilat shesh. And we begin the sreifa, like Rabbi Meir said, at the beginning of the sixth hour. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yehuda, this is more than just a theory. We actually set up a system by which people would know, and clearly I'm right, because the system reflected my din. Shtei chalot shel todah psulot, munachot al gav ha'itzdaba. Now some mishnayot have the girsa al gav ha'itzdaba. Al gav ha'itzdaba, there were two different issues that were going on in the Har HaBayit. There was staves there, which are like we have in the Kardo, sort of achsadraot that are open with beams holding up the roof that comes down at an angle. The word, sorry? In the Kardo?
No.
Well, yeah, but the it's similar. Okay. In the car, go down there after the shiur, and you'll see it's about with a staff.
Right.
Yeah, you can see through the window. Maybe. So there also, the word itzabot, it's used in modern Hebrew, is used for stadium seating of the itzabot. Or shelves, which are staggered shelves. So that's the idea. When you're in a stadium, you basically have shelves one behind the other. So there were also seating for people in the side if they wanted to were watching things. Rashi learns agav ha-moshav. Not here, but elsewhere he talks about on the seat. If it's agav itzabot, it means literally agav itzabot. On top of the roof that everybody would see. You could see it from all over the city. And that would be the simon to them. Now, these two chalot shot that were psulot, the Gemara is going to come up, what the heck were they doing with chalot psulot? What do you mean? You can't make it possible. I mean, you knew you were going to have pasul chalas. What does that mean? Okay, it turns out it's interesting, just a historical sidelight that people would bring, if they were coming up to Yerushalayim, then they would come early in order to bring, because you had 2 days of chalot that you had to finish up that you were going to bring with your korban todah. So you need the whole day in order to finish it, so they would come on the 13th. You can only eat it for 1 day, but you can't be makatzer in the achila. So they spent 2 days. So they would have the 14th of the Korban Pesach, and they brought the Toda the day before, but there would be a tremendous number of people that would be bringing. Anybody who owed a Toda all year round would come up and bring it. This is the first time they had a chance to bring it, so okay. So it would be a lot of, the Kohanim was simply unable to eat those many challahs. So they had challahs psulat. They would put in al gaga yitzvah, because manchu munachot, as long as both chalot were there, kola am ochlin, everybody would be eating. Nitla ach. When they would take one challah at the end of the fourth hour, tolin, lo achlim velo sorfim. You didn't burn the chametz yet, but you didn't eat, literally. Why there's a nafkamina between hana'ah and achila isn't clear. Because the isra hana'ah and the isra achila come at the same time, and the chora of the same magnitude. So the achronim point out that there's many places where chazal were more makbid on inyanim of achila than they were on inyanim of hana'ah. So that the gzera would be more specifically based on the actual taking chametz in. That would be enough to assert the difference. Whatever. Rambam, according to the Rambam, there is a difference la'alocha because you're not chayiv malchus on the hana'ah. Because according to him, anything that isn't bifurash in the yisr, it's only a drush in the yisr, is not chayiv malchus. So therefore, they were more makbid, perhaps according to him, more makbid on the avi. But in any event, they left it there to be told. We'll see some of the ideas. We'll talk about some of the ideas as we go. So they left it there for that additional hour, and then when they took both of them off, nitlushtehem, then nitchilu kolam sofin, then everybody started to burn. The question, by the way, alocha l'maisa, whether it's a good, is it okay to burn early. Maybe you're being over on Baal Tashkei. So the minute is that you could burn early also. There's someone who want to be makbid at the mat. What if you find people to give it to? You're over on Baal Tashkei. But l'maisa, it's not specifically, clearly not specifically a mitzvah at that moment, as we'll see later on. Dafka the Ashkenazim, according to the Ramah, are makbid to burn before the chametz becomes usher. Because if the according to him, you do the bittel after the sreifa. You see. So if you do the bittel after the sreifa, you're in trouble. Because you can't do the bittel, according to him, you can't do the bittel before the sreifa. Why? Because you do the bittel before the sreifa, then you're not burning chametz. So what's the point? On the other hand, if you burn when it's already usher, you can't do bittel. So there's really no way out of the problem, according to him. Which means that when it says, when they put up these notes, sof zman biur chametz, it's completely wrong. That's not sof zman biur chametz. That's actually the beginning of zman biur chametz, mikradin. It's just that you're doing it before the zman in order to facilitate the bittel. Sof zman biur chametz is not the sof zman. If they exactly.
So when I rush down to get it in by a certain time,
right.
I have all the time in the world.
Well, I have another hour or whatever.
Okay. Well, in Pesach context, that's a lot of context.
Yeah, right. You, from where you live, should ask that question. We're the Ams. Who else were the Ams? They weren't living a bite for God. This is it?
Huh?
I mean, how would the people who do it not turn time? He's asking how do people see it? It's too far away.
Because our new one
dropped all the buildings in the road. Yeah, you haven't built a shot of cocoa yet. That's really crazy. It would be built better. It would be built normally. Yeah. So it was built like Yishuv Olam. Everybody could see.
You were in
the Harabayim.
Sure.
You've seen all of Harabayim.
It's like trying to see the moon.
There's moons?
Because the buildings
are not. So that's the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Now, there's a third shita, which is Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, well, it depends. If you have chulin, so then Rabbi Yehuda is right. And then you can eat it only during the fourth hour. But if you have truma, since you're not allowed to be mafsi truma, so truma, we allow you to eat all chamesh. And then both of them, you're sorfen b'tchilat shesh. Echad omer b'shnayim b'chodesh, echad omer b'shlosha. In order for us to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which seems to be basically a machlokas about how much of a mistake people make in time. In other words, will they mistake the fourth hour, the sixth hour for the fourth hour? Or will they only mistake it for the fifth hour? That's what it seems to be. So if that's the case, then we ought to be able to apply that same machlokas to the question of testimony. Because since witnesses could make a mistake the same way that a normal person would make a mistake over here for chameit, then that would mean that any mistake that's within the tchum of error that is allowed by the Mishnah, according to the various shitot of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, would be the amount of a mistake that would be acceptable if two witnesses contradict each other, right? So in other words, if you're telling me that you think that somebody could think that the sixth hour is really the fourth hour, so then if that's true, then two witnesses that report that wouldn't be in contradiction. Let's see if Lamaisa, the shitot of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are consistent in this. In the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, it says that Echad Omer B'Shlayim B'Chodesh V'Echad Omer B'Shlosha Edutan Kayim. If they're arguing about what day of the week, so in the Chakirot of the month, of Chakirot Ha'idim, one guy says the second was the second of the month, and one guy says it was the third of the month, that's not a contradiction, because after all, they both said it was on Wednesday. The point is that one of them holds, one of them was mistaken in when Rosh Chodesh was, because, I mean, it often happens. They don't know whether the month is Mu'ubar or not Mu'ubar. So one made the assumption that the previous month was Chaser, and the other one was Mu'ubar, or vice versa. So that's no problem. Zeh Yodea B'Ibu Rosh Chodesh, the Zeh No Yodea, or maybe just the opposite, Zeh Yodea B'Chisar Rosh Chodesh. There's no reason to make a mistake in 2 days. And therefore, Edutan B'Teila. Echad Omer B'Shtei Sha'ot, and this is what's important to us. One of them says 2 hours, so was it the second hour of the day, and one says it was the third, Edutan Kayemet. But if Echad Omer B'Shalosh, Echad Omer B'Chamesh, Edutan B'Teila. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, Edutan Kayemet, even if they're contradicting each other between 3 and 5. Echad Omer B'Chamesh, Echad Omer B'Sheva, then everybody is Modim, Rabbi Yehuda is Modim, even though it's only 2 hours. It's definitely a contradiction because nobody makes a mistake between morning and afternoon. So you know what? They certainly know that it can't be the 5 hours in the morning if it's 7 hours, right? Well, talks about that. Omer Abayin, kishikimtzalomar ledivrei Rabbi Meir. The truth is, when you get to the bottom of this, you shouldn't jump to any conclusions, because what you should actually conclude is only that according to Rabbi Meir, we don't allow any margin of error. Ein adam to evelo klum. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not allowing very much of a margin of error. I'll bet you think it's 2 hours. No. It's a half an hour. Why? Because look, the Rebbe Meir, what I'm saying is that in Adam Tov Lo Klum, what we need to assume is that the event occurred at the moment of transition between the second hour and the third hour. So the Mefik Tar to Yom HaOtlat. Therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, what we're talking about is a difference in reference, not a difference at all in analysis of the time. One person is calling it 2 second hour, meaning the very last minute of the second hour, and one person is calling it the third hour, meaning the very first moment of the third hour. So maybe they're not making any mistake in time. Maybe there is no margin of error. Maybe it's a semantical question.
Is this the same thing as keeping 6 hours and then
being 6 hours? No, there's other reasons to that. It's not that we're afraid to. So everything works out. Now, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, I say, the most you can conclude is the margin of error is a half an hour. Because let's assume that the Maaseh Kihavi, the event occurs in one half of the fourth hour, right? So the one who's saying, well, it was in the third hour. He means it was the last minute of the third hour, which was a half an hour before, midway to 4, 3:30. It took place at 3:30, he's saying it was 3. Okay, it's half an hour mistake. You called it two because it's the last minute of two. So it's really only half an hour in terms of the rest of semantic. But the margin of error is only half an hour. Vashenki, the other person was calling it Hadikamer Shalosh. He meant at the end of the third hour. I mean, it's really the fourth hour. So he's making a mistake now, also of only half an hour. Hadikamer Chamesh, but Tchilat Chamesh. When he said five, he meant it was at the beginning of the fifth hour. It was really half an hour before at 3:30. So that would be. So he was Tayyak Atayba Pagadashai Talachoris. He made a mistake half an hour back. But that's the whole difference. Ikidi Amri, others say that what a bias is not quite like that. The margin of error is a mashal. It's not semantic. In other words, Rabbi Meir is saying one guy thinks it's the last minute of the second hour, and one guy thinks it's the first minute of the third hour, which is a margin of error. Okay, so we allow you 1 minute of margin of error. Mashal. It's a mashal pachot yoter, but that is a very, very small margin of error. So Ikidi Amri, Mabayak, Shtipso, Ludivra, Rabbi Meir, Adam Tohem Mashal. The question is whether this was part of the second hour or part of the third hour. It's a bit of a mistake in a minute, so they have to have a good, clear sense of time based on the sense of where they're... Let me ask you something. When you want to get up in the morning at 5:46 and a half, can you do that?
You can.
You really can?
Right. So you're going to catch a
flux. Come on. Most people can do it. It's a biological flux. You can hear.
You're going to catch a flux.
You can't program yourself to wake up at exactly a particular time.
You wake up, you catch a long clock, and you wake up like 10 seconds before your alarm.
Yeah, you always wake up. Exactly. You always wake up 10 seconds before your alarm. You have to turn it on.
If you get enough sleep.
What? Can't hear you. Too much noise.
I can't program myself to wake up.
You mean if you program an alarm clock, then the alarm clock programs you. Okay, whatever it is, but Lemaisa works. Okay, let me tell you something. I had a great grandmother who was completely blind, had absolutely no ability to see light or dark. Even. Okay. She would always run in to hear the news precisely as it went beep on, and never missed the news before. She always knew. We never understood how. She knew what time it is.
Watch it.
She said, "Yeah, she would watch it." In South Africa. Okay, so according to this, it's a little bit of a mistake. But Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toeh Sha'al Mashal. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'd have to admit that there is a margin of error. The margin of error would be a little bit more than an hour. So the difference there, Adam Toeh Mashal, Maisa Kafri, was either Besof Shtayim or Betchilat Shalom. One of them is making a mistake of a Mashal. The difference Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toeh Sha'al Mashal. Say the Maisa Shalom was either Besof Shalom or Betchilat Chamesh. And Chadmei Akata Sha'al Mashal. One of them is making a mistake of an hour and a little bit. So he said the Chamesh, so he missed the fourth hour and a little bit of the end of the third hour. So let's say 61 minutes. Now Ravuna went over, also Ravuna Breda Rav Yehuda, Armer L'Shmeitzah Kameda Rav, he said over this analysis of Kishatim Tzolomar that Abaya came up with, said it over to Rav, and Rav said that that's crazy. How could he say that? Let me ask you something, said Rav. Uma ilu daikinu b'ani sahade, haidi amar shalosh b'tchilat shalosh, haidi amar chamesh b'sof chamesh, habiyedu t'mut cheshet. Suppose we had asked the witnesses, was it the beginning of the third hour or the end? And one guy would have said the beginning. And the other guy would have said the fifth. He would have said the end. We didn't ask them, but if we would have asked them, what would have happened? It would have been Eidut Mukesh. The Torah has a Chiva V'Hitzidu Ha'eda, which means if there's any possible opening for you to figure out that you've got Eidut Mukesh, take it. Understand? So we could theoretically have made it Eidut Mukesh. If you're telling me, now I should assume that actually there was nobody. Why should I? Let me assume just the opposite. The way Abai has analyzed it, if you're only giving me a margin of error of a Mashu or of a Shah of a Mashu, so let's say, well, you know what? Throw out the testimony. For capital punishment case. Why? Well, because maybe it was more than the margin of error. According to Bayer, margin of error is minimum. Maybe no, none at all, but really mayor. That's crazy. If there's a way to get out of it, then we'll have to take it. We're certainly not going to assume that they're within the margin of error. That's the whole point of the Chakiras. How could he come up with such a shot? So therefore, if we would have asked the witnesses, and the guy who said Shalosh would have said it was the beginning of Shalosh, the guy who said Chamesh would have said it been the end of the Chamesh, so then Abai is saying it would be able to be Keshet. And in that case, Lo Katlina, we wouldn't have killed the guy for this capital case. So now we should get up and kill the guy because probably, Mitzad HaSofik, and Anei Komer Akhtem Misveka, Rachmano Amar Veshiftu Aida V'Yitzilu Aida. You're supposed to take any possible opening to save the guy's life in court. Why aren't we taking it? Therefore, Abai is wrong. It cannot be that it's the minimal margin of error. It's got to be it's the maximum margin of error. And we're assuming on the contrary. Now, the guy who said three indeed meant the beginning of three. The guy who said five indeed meant the end of five. No other way to learn it. To be continued. Let's hope. Chazorah. Let's do a speedy chazorah over here afterwards. ומיגז רבי ידע דמעט ולומר חומיני ואתרם משקור אבל אמר יצינו מצין שוקי ירושלים שמרים כמח וקולי שלא ברצון חכמים דבר רבי מאיר רבי ידע אמר וואי אם הם ברצון חכמים היו עושים ולא כל גז רבי ידע דמעט ולומר חומיני אמר רוב השני חדש מתוך שלו התרתו על ידי כיתוף הוא זכור אמר לי הבאי נו ודעת פרשת כתיפה ודבר תחינה הרקדם הייתה לבימה Oh, maybe we're only matir tchina berechayadiyad. Maybe we're only matir arkada al gabega and apa. Elohad, it's unkotzer mit ashalchinim shabah makim normal katsira of a logo chin. Vakim na krebi yuda, Michael Amema. Elohim Rabbi, we'll have to take a new approach. That chadash bad yominei, chomitz lo bad yominei. Omar Rav, the Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah kasha, and the Rabbanan and Rabbanan didn't bother you. So the Rabbi Yudah, the Rabbi Yudah lo kasha, as you've explained, the Rabbanan and Rabbanan nami lo kasha. Their svara is that since the whole point of Bidikas Chomet is hu atzmo mechazer alav l'sarfo, it's ridiculous to think that meicho kohachaminei. Rav Ashi, Omar, the Rabbi Yudah, the Rabbi Yudah lo kasha for another reason. Kemach v'koli t'nan, that's all that was available, it's not able to be eaten. And all the Rabbi Yudah bedutehi, because they not be But me korat koli maikel amima. V'chi temay de kituf kiderov ela kotsrim beta shalchim shabah makim v'kina krebi yuda maikel amima. We're always going to get back to that kasha. El deravashi bedutahi. Now you're saying kolaychad lo bodem inay that Rabbi Yuda is gazer. It's not true. What's that? Lo yikav adam shofer shabet zav yavon shabet den betzad nevesh v'shtemet tatafas afilu yishal cheres. Rabbi Yuda matir. No, the truth is that is bodem because we should form the Shabbos mivdal b'dil. Well, what about Rami Shabbos? Our Shabbos, Tanya. Chavod Lishan if Sakavaya Koshrolo Onvo. Rabbi Yudah Omer, no, it can't even be Onay. Korechalo Pundo Paskia Bilvachlo Yanva, anything but that. Kasher Rabbi Yudah Kasher Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan, not Rabbanan Lo Kasher. Obviously, Shemen B'Shemen is out of Michlav totally. Aniva Bikshira Lo Michlav. Rabbi Yudah Lo Kasher. Time in Rabbi has nothing to do with Shuvah Gizera. It's because not Aniva to Kshira Lo Mishum Tzav Aniva Gufa Kshira Yi. Rami Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan the Tzank. Kosher, the Paskev, a low bit Hevel, Rabbi Matir Hevel. So, what would you say, Matir? I mean, Hevel de Mai, Elam Hevel de Alma, what? Rabbi Matir, it's Kesher Kayomo. Vade Atil Vetule, Elopshit, he's got to be talking about a Hevel de Garde. And yet, the Rabbonim were Gozer, Hevel de Garde, you have to Hevel de Alma. That's right. Hevel de Hevel Mithlet. Aniva Bixir, a low Mithlet. So, what? Kolecha de Bodom, and a low Gozer, Rabbi Yuda. What about the case of the Mishnah of Bechor? Bechor Shachaz Odam, Afilu, Maitain, Mekiz, and Odam, de Rabbi Yuda, Vakam Rabbi, Yakiz, Vachor, No, that's a different reason. He talks on the ball. I'm a mono. I'm Lina, the Sharika, the Bakushin, the Sibomo, I didn't have Bakushin, the Sibomo. Rabbanan said just the opposite. Koshi came. He lost Sharika like at all. I didn't have that. So me, I'm Lina, the Rabbiuda, I'm a ball. I'm a mono. What about a son, Rabbiuda, I'm a ain't a mek hardin. Abema, beyom tov, in the Jose Habura, Avon, mekar tzafim, vachachomim, omrim, ain't mekardim, af, ain't mekar tzafim, vatan, ezu, kido, ezu, kirtsu. Kidur ktanim ve'osim chabura kirtzuv gidolim ve'osim chabura. Ano hata mishavik le mayit. Amin el adam ba'olam amano. Hake yishavik le tzara be'amu ulam. Amin el adam ba'olam amano. Rabbi Yudah ma'ishra gabi chomitz to gozer ma'ishra gabi kirtzuv lo gozer. Lachem malachem michlav kidur kirtzuv lo michlav. Rabbi Meir amrim lo kuko chomesh v'sorvim b'chilat shesh. Rabbi Yudah emir ayichun kol harba v'talen kol chomesh v'sorvim b'chilat shesh. V'yodom Rabbi Yudah. Shtei chalot shel tuda psulot menachot agabe yitzva. Kozman. שמונחות כל העם אוכלים ניתו אחת תולין לא אוכלים ולא שורפים ניתו שתיהם התחילו כל העם שורפים רבי גמליאל אומר חול הנה קודם כל ארבע שרום הכל חמש ושורפים בתחילת שש צהרת המחד אומר בשניים וחדש ואחד אומר בשלושה עדותן קיימת שזה יודע בעיבורו של חודש וזה אינו יודע בעיבורו של חודש אחד אומר בשלושה ואחד אומר בחמישה עדותן בתחילה אחד אומר בשתי שעות ואחד אומר בשלוש שעות עדותן קיימת אחד אומר בשלוש ואחד אומר בחמש עדותן בתחילה Rabbi Yudah Omer, even there, Edutan Kayemet. Echad Omer B'chamesh, Echad Omer B'sheva, there even Rabbi Yudah's made Edutan B'teila, Shebechamesh Chama B'mizrach, B'sheva Chama B'ma'ara. Omer Abaye, Kishetimtza Lomar, L'div Rabbi Meir, Adam Toeh, Velo Klum. L'div Rabbi Yudah, Adam Toeh, maybe Chatzi Sha'a. L'div Rabbi Meir, In Adam Toeh, Velo Klum, because we can assume that Ma'aseki Avi was maybe B'mefik Tartu, Ma'al Tlat. And it's a semantical question. Adog HaMashtayim meant B'sof Shtayim. Adog HaMashosh B'tchilat Shalom. The Devar Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toeh Chatzi Sha'a, we can assume that Maisa Kehavi, the Pog of the Arba Havi, Haidikar Mashalash, he meant Besorf Shalosh, so it's really Katai Palga, the Shaita Lekamei, it's a half hour mistake. Haidikar Mashamesh meant Betchilat Chamesh, when actually it was 4:30. 4:30. Now, you can hear me, Rabbi Kishitim, Salom, Arda, Divere, the mayor, Adam to a marshal, the Divere, the mayor, to a Sha'ab, a marshal, the Divere, the mayor, to a marshal, Masak Yabe, or Besok, Shtaim, Abe, but Kilat Shalom. Chag, me now to a little bit. The Divere, the Yoda, Adam to a Sha'ab, marshal, Masak Yabe, or Besok, Shosh, or Kilat Hamesh, but Chag, me now, Katai, Sha'ab, marshal. Also, Ravuna, Breda, the Yoda, on a Shmaitzik, I mean, a Rava, Omar, that's impossible. Umay, look, I came about, he started, I had a commercial, but really meant particular shalosh. By the commerce really meant Besof Chamesh. And then it would have been Eidut Mukheshet, because we don't have that kind of leeway according to Abaya. And then Lo Katlina, so because of that, Anan Nekam and Nekam is Sveika. Rachman Omer Veshifto Aida Vitzilu Aida.